Imagine a Jew. Yankel is sitting at the kitchen table. It's a late summer Shabbos afternoon. The window's open, enjoying the breeze. Long summer Shabbos afternoon. And he's slicing tomatoes for shalshus. Covered Shabbos, they got tomatoes on the vine. A little extra freshness, a little extra flavor. Look how the Shabbos. And he's slicing tomatoes for salad, Shal Shabbos. And then he notices that these are really tomatoes on the vine. As in, after he sliced half a tomato, he notices that the vine to which this tomato is attached actually goes off the table, out the window, and down into the soil outside. So the Gemara tells such a semi-humorous case with a serious significance. Gemara speaks about a fellow who thought that he was cutting something which was talush. He thought it was just slicing, dicing a tomato from the fridge, when in fact he was detaching half of the tomato from the ground. He didn't realize that the tomato that he was cutting was mechubar. He didn't realize it attached. In other words, he didn't realize that in cutting the tomato, he was committing an act of meleches kotzer, that he was separating half of the tomato from its roots in the ground. So that's one of the cases, one of the more intriguing cases, of the concept we mentioned earlier this morning, the concept of nesasik. And as we said, and we touched this last time a little bit, there's full intention to do an aveira, or you know what you're doing, and you recognize that it's wrong. Rachmal Tzlan, not you. Rachmal Tzlan, a Jew, commits that act despite full appreciation of its sinfulness. That's amazing, and its full culpability. And then below that, level two, is a shogeg, where the fellow doesn't realize that what he's doing is aser. He didn't realize that today was Shabbos. He didn't realize or didn't remember that watering plants is something not allowed to do in Shabbos. He didn't allow to drive a car, but he didn't realize he's not allowed to water the lawn. Okay? So he forgot the malacha, or he forgot Shabbos. That's a shogeg. Not as culpable as mezid, but still tzarech kapara, you got to bring carbon kapara. And then there's the third lowest level, and that's this, misasik. Fellow doesn't realize, it's not that he didn't realize that it's usher to do this, he didn't realize what he's doing. He lacked kavanas pula. He knew he was cutting a tomato, but he didn't realize that he's detaching half the tomato from the ground. Or, the case you mentioned before, a fellow is, you're at the age where you only wear a suit usually on Shabbos. Well, let's say you had a chasen on a Thursday night, and you had a place card. That was exciting, if you don't go to chasens that often. So you had a place card. You stuck in your pocket afterwards. Or maybe you use it to take notes. You had a chiddush in learning, where at the table you took some notes, put it in your pocket. You put it in your jacket pocket, your suit pocket. Then you went home, you took off your suit, and you hung it up. Shabbos came, you put the Shabbos suit back on, and you went about your business. If you're in an area without an Eruv, so then you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, that includes walking around with things in your pocket. So if a person realized I have something in my pocket, then I know there's a malacha of Ma'avir, I didn't know it's Rachman, it's not amazing. If he knew he had something in his pocket, but he didn't know that it's usher to do that on Shabbos. A fellow lives his whole life in an area with an Eruv, he never heard that there's a 39th malacha called carrying. Or he lived his whole life in an area with an Eruv, so he thought he heard of carrying, but he thought carrying means like, you know, holding your hand. But he didn't realize you're not allowed to carry things in your pocket. It's also carrying. Sometimes it happens in a community with an Eruv, where the Eruv is down. Sometimes the big problem, you have people pushing strollers. They knew you're not allowed to carry, but they didn't realize the pushing the strollers carrying. Okay. So that's a shogeg. You didn't realize that was us. But here you have this fellow who, not that he didn't realize that carrying is usher, he didn't realize that he was carrying. He had no clue as he was walking out of the old Shabbos, he had something in his pocket. So that's a misasik. There is no, not only is there no skill and no kares, there's also no shogeg. The Chaim points out that there's a violation of a din drabanan. And in the beginning of Masech HaShabbos, it says you're supposed to check your pockets. Particularly if you're in an area without an Eruv, you're supposed to be drabanan and mechid check your pockets at Erev Shabbos. Okay, so he violated that din drabanan. But in terms of Melech HaShabbos, not only no skill, no kares, no chatas. He's not shogeg either. He's a misasik. He lacks kavanas pula. There is no onesh whatsoever. is no onesh whatsoever. So that concept of misasek being even lower than shogeg, if you lack kavanah fully, you weren't aware of the action, it's even lower than, it's even less than not realizing the implications of your action. So that can explain our first bekiyah sugya and the heart of our iyun sugya, and it will reverberate from there to all these other related sugyas of tefillah. Let's take a look on daf yud gimel, and then let's take a look on the Rambam on daf lamed. Here in Dr. Gimel, we've been kind of kicking off the Chazar week for the second parak. Chazar will be more during second Seder in the afternoon than first Seder in the morning, but we will later in the week have an opportunity to have some Chazar in the morning as well, and we'll start that right now. Here we are, opening line of the opening Mishnah. Remember, the opening Mishnah in the second parak has a series of three topics. The last topic is about the sequence of the parashas of Kriyat Shema. The middle topic is about Hefsek. Bein HaPrakim, Be'emsa HaPerek, B'nei HaKavah, B'nei Yira, Shaul, Meshe, what are the rules and regulations, and when do I engage in conversation in the middle of Kriyat Shema, Birkat Kriyat Shema, why not? The first topic, the opening topic of the Perek, Ha'yakori Ba'tor V'Giyazman HaMikra. Here's a Jew who's learning Chumash. He's up to the parasha of Kriyat Shema, and it comes the time for Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And kivin libo yatsa. If you were learning, you happened to be learning Kriyat Shema, and it was a zman of Kriyat Shema, so you did the right action. You said the words of Kriyat Shema. Are you do fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? So the yes or no. So the Mishnah says it depends. Maybe yes, and maybe no. What does it depend on? Depends whether you not only said the right words, but thought the right thoughts. And if not only you said the right words, but kiven libo, so then yatsa. The Gemara says, first line of the Gemara, wow, okay, well, why is that? The Mishnah just told us that you're not yotze. You did the right maisa mitzvah, but you did the right maisa mitzvah without kavana, you're not yotze. So it sounds like that's a general issue. If I shook lulav on Sukkot without kavana, if I blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah without kavana, sounds like lo yotze. Sounds shmamina, says the Gemara, mitzvah strict with kavana. You see that the Mishnah is clearly stating that you need kavana for mitzvos, as Rashi says clearly, shehei miskavein l'shem mitzvos. It's not enough to do a good job of accurately, effectively making a sound of a tekiah and a sound of a shraim true and so on and so forth. You also have in mind, I'm doing l'shem mitzvah. I'm doing this because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. Not just that I enjoy the musical experience of the Kol Shofar. It has to be that I'm doing it for religious purposes. And as Rashi points out, the reason why the Gemara is raising it this way, oh, Shema Minah, we hold this way, is because there's a larger sugya elsewhere. For instance, the first Rashi Digmar, Tikshul Rabba, the Amor Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Rabba the Amor says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chav Ches Amin Aleph, Chav Ches Amin Aleph Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chav Ches Maseches Rosh Hashanah is a remarkable blot. It's like a whole series of klali mitzvahs, one after the other. All these like general principles about how we do mitzvahs and what does the mitzvah need. Doing a mitzvah with the Yisuri Hana, like a whole slew of shasukis. So one of the shasukis on Rosh Hashanah Chesam Aleph, it's raised in the context of shofar, but it's a broader, that's an example of a pan-halachic issue about mitzvahs, is mitzvahs Trichas Kavana, or mitzvahs Ein Trichas Kavana. Rava says, this is why it appears in Rosh Hashanah, Rava's specific psak, the specific case, was HaTokei L'Shir Yatza. Let's say I blew a shofar entirely for musical purposes. Or let's say I listened to a shofar. Let's imagine the fellow goes to, he might not even have known it's Rosh Hashanah, or he didn't know it's Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is. But he went to Central Park, and there was some international music festival, and there are people displaying instruments from all over the world, an ethnic music festival. And he enjoys listening to these drums, enjoys listening to that. And at what point is a fellow who's a Jew who's blowing a shofar as a part of this music festival? So here's this other Jew who's listening. Wow, that sounds beautiful. Tokei L'Shir. He's blowing the shofar, he's listening to the shofar. His entire intent is just to appreciate the musical aesthetic experience. No religious intent. He's not doing it because today is Rosh Hashanah and God expects me to blow a hirah shofar. He did know it's Rosh Hashanah, he did not know it's Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is. So Rabbi says, obviously it's not ideal, but yotza, it's okay, l'shir yotza. Rabbi says, yotze. I had no kavon l'shem mitzvah, so Rabbi holds that mitzvos ein shrichos kavon. That's a shita of Rabbi. Okay, he's an amora, he's entitled to a shita. Others, amora, may disagree with him. He's entitled to a shita unless he's against the Beferish Mishnah. The Gemara says, how's Rabbi have the space to say that mitzvah says shir kavon? It's okay, l'shir yotza. What do you mean? It's a Beferish Mishnah, the opening line, the second paragraph of Brachos. Lo kivin, kivin libo yotza. The problem. So the Gemara says, obviously, Rabbi would say that this is not the same type of kavana. Kavana, mitzvah shrich is kavana, means having kavana l'shem mitzvah. So Rabbi holds, if you do the right action without having religious intent, still yotza, still yotza. Ah, over here we said you need the kavana. I said, nah, this is a more basic kavana that even Rabbi holds you need. What's the more basic kavana? Mayim kivin libo, mayim kivin, what do you mean? Kivin libo, likros. You had in mind, you intended to read. Gemara said, well, obviously you intended to read. Likros, v'hakakari. You are reading. You're saying the words of, you're learning Vashan, you're saying the words of Kirishmas. Obviously you intend to say the words. We don't think that you've lost your mind. Wait, what does kivin libo mean? How is he reading unintentionally? Well, he's sleepwalking, sleep talking. What does that mean? The Gemara explains, Bekore Lahagia. The scenario is that he wasn't sitting and learning. Sitting and learning, he's saying the words. Obviously, he intends to say the words. No! You mean he's a Magia. He's proof reading a Sefer Torah. Sofer wrote a Sefer Torah, then you have to look it over to make sure everything's written properly. Maybe there's a word missing, a letter missing, things are written out of order. So he's Kori Lagia, Rashi says, Kori Lagia is a Sefer. You're editing, you're proofreading the Sefer Torah, the Yeshbo Tos, to see if there are any mistakes. Da'afilu l'kriya namri l'maskavin. He doesn't even intend to read it. Tosa says, he wasn't reading, he was really interested in just checking to make sure all the words are written properly. So Frank Tosa's tema, Katya Kakari. I don't understand. How does the answer the question? How do we move forward? The Gemara was bothered that if you're reading it, you're reading it. What does it matter if you have kavanah? The whole point, Rabbi was the only kavanah. Said, well, I mean, obviously he intended to read it, he read it. Well, he was me magia. And therefore, but still, he's reading it. He obviously intends to read it. So Tosis comes up with a solution. Tosis says, after reject Rashi, Akavach Nira, Alkainir, Bekori Lagia means, Eino Kori Akavitz Kilchasna Kinikudasan, Elokich Sivasan, Kari. Tosis says, Kori Lagia means that you're mispronouncing the words, because you're checking to make sure everything is spelled properly. The missing vavs and the malei chaser, so you're dafka mispronouncing in order to, you know, if you might say latatfas, because there's no vav. So Tosa says, kori lahia means the guy is, because he's editing, because he's proofreading the Sefer Torah, he's mispronouncing it. Pashut is not reading it properly. So kivim libo likros means that when he got to Kriya Shema, he said, oh, this I'll pronounce properly. Okay, so if he pronounced it properly, yotza. If he didn't pronounce it properly, we have that later part, not yotza. Okay? So, Tosis, we understand very well what the issue is. Kavana, you don't really need kavana. But you have to do the maisa properly. The guy is being magia, he's editing, he's not doing the maisa properly. He's intentionally mispronouncing all the words. So if he continues to intentionally mispronounce all the words through the paragraph of Kriya Shema, so he didn't do the proper masa. If he switched, kivin libo, and he switched his plan for this paragraph, he did pronounce the words properly, then he's yotze. So for Tosfos, the way the Gemara lands, there's no need for kavana whatsoever. All that you need is doing the action, pronouncing the words. What was Rashi thinking? What was Rashi thinking? Based on what we just opened with. What was Rashi? Kavanah Shemitzvah. I think. So Rava said, the first the Gemara thought that the Kavanah and Kavanah Shemitzvah, you're doing it for religious purposes. And specifically, not just the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but the mitzvah of Kriyashma. So the Gemara said, that's fine if you hold mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah, but Rabba the Amor holds mitzvah saying Shrichas Kavanah, and it's an open map focus amongst Rishonim as well. Discussion of Shulchan Aruch HaPaskim. So how would Rabba, and all those who follow Rabba, mitzvah saying Shrichas Kavanah, how do they read the Mishnah? So they said, well, we're not talking about Kavanah Shem Mitzvah, we're talking about Kivein Libo Likros. So what does Kivein Libo Likros mean? So Rash Tosas just says Kivein Libo Likros means you did the, it doesn't have to do with Kavanah at all per se, it has to do with making sure that you do the maaseh properly, that you pronounce the words properly. But before we spoke about a different type of kavanah, misasek is when you have a lack of kavanas pu'ula. Not I'm trying to accomplish being yotzei the mitzvah. Just a more basic awareness of what I am doing. You're cutting, you're detaching a tomato from the ground. Do you realize that you're detaching a tomato from the ground? Are you unaware of the action you're doing? Are you aware of the fact that you're carrying something in your pocket? Are you unaware of what you are doing? Kavanah spula, not kavanah of, through doing this action, I will accomplish, I'm yotzei mitzvah. No, do you even realize the action that you're doing? So, l'chora, I believe, the Rashi, the answer to Taisa's Kasha, is Rashi would say, he's a misasek. Not that you're mispronouncing the words. Just when you're a magia, you might not realize that you're saying the words out loud. You were reading along and looking carefully, looking at this Sefer Torah, looking at that Sefer Torah, looking at this Sefer Torah, looking at that Sefer Torah. Do you even realize that you're verbalizing, that you are saying the words? Or are you just not even fully aware of the fact that you're saying words? You're just busy thinking about what it says here, what it says there. And that Pashup Shah Naglar, Kivin Libo Likros. You intended to read, Rashi says, "Lotzi say mitzvah lo boyin shem miskaving." You don't have kavanah shem mitzvah. You need likros. You have to say the words. And the question was, well, but if you're saying the words, don't you realize you're saying the words? Normally, people don't mutter things unawares. The answer was no. That's right. But if you're a magia, you're looking very carefully at the words, but you might not realize that you're saying them with your lips. This is exactly what Rashi said. I feel the kriya nami lamaskavim. He did not intend to read. He is therefore a misasek. It doesn't count. There's nothing. Nothing happened. If I did not vera shalobimiskat, it doesn't count as my action. I don't get an onesh. I cut the tomato not realizing that I was detached the tomato from the ground. So I'm not chai of anything because as though the action, it doesn't relate to me. So it happened on its own. I had no recognition, no awareness of what I was doing. If it's true for an avera, it's also true for a mitzvah. I have no onesh if I did avera b'masasek. I have no mitzvah if I did a mitzvah misasim. But if you were unaware of what you were doing, you didn't do it. The action happened on its own. Not your action if you didn't realize it. That happens to be a discussion amongst Achronim, very, very famous Achronim. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Chavos Das. Rabbi Akiva Eiger refers to him as the Chavos Das. And yeshivas, certainly younger Bacham yeshivas, were often called the Nesivos. Because the Sefer he wrote in Mashma Zikin, the Chosh Mishpat is Nesivos. The Ksos Nesivos fame. The Sefer he wrote in Yerodea is Chavos Das. When you're older, you may come across the Chavos Das. When you're younger, you're seeing the Nesivos more. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger refers to him as the Baal Chavos Das. They lived at the same time. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Simon Ches and Shuvas has a machlokes with the Nesivos about exactly this point. They do not quote Rashi Tosas. how do you understand misasek? Is misasek just like you're like a super shogeg? you're pater from any onesh. Like you're very pater. Or more fundamentally, it's just not your maisa. You lack kavanas pa'ulas, it's not your maisa. So machlokas, explicit machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, you're going to see this. I believe it is driving the machlokas, Rashi tells us. Rashi seems to hold that nesasek b'mitzvahs, you're not yotze. It's just not your maisa at all. Tosus doesn't seem to see that as a possibility. They're stumped. Tosus says, I don't understand. What did you solve? Oh, it must be, we really mean you didn't pronounce the words properly. The Tosus doesn't see a possibility of a lack of kavanas pa'ula means it's not your mitzvah. Tosus probably sees the narrower version of misasik. The misasik means you're super shogig, you're putter from ocean. But Rashi has a more fundamental understanding that if you're misasik, it's like it's not your maisa at all, not just a detail about chiyav ocean. Not your maisa, how maisa work in halacha. Not your maisa. And that's why, again, clearly Rashi says, I think clearly Rashi says, but it gives expression to what I believe would be a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Sivas. Misasik in an aveira is totally pater, is misasik in a mitzvah na yotze. I believe that's the machlokas Rashi tells us. Rashi says lo yotze. Tosa says yotze. Rashi says lo yotze presumably because it's misasik is fundamentally not your maisa at all. What's another example of where a Rishon says, if you did this action without Kavana, it's as though you didn't do it? The answer is the Rambam. The Rambam didn't just say in Paragala, Rabosai, that, Kavanas, Omer L'Pnei Hashem, is Ma'akev, Yitzil She'ya, Yispablo, Kavana, Chos, Yispablo, De Kavana. He did say that. But beforehand, he already said something more fundamental, which is, Kol Tzil She'ya, De Kavana, Ein Atfila. You daven al kavana, it's not a davening at all, which we were struck by. It's a pretty very bold, fundamental statement. It's not tefillah, it's tefillah, but you're missing the detail. Right? And we were struck by the steer between the Rambans. The Reb Chaim began to say, well, the answer is, another Ramban parrot, good, that's kavanas pirush hamilus, which apparently is less important. Surprising, we would have thought kavanas pirush hamilus is kavana. Reb Chaim said, read the Rambam. It seems like Kavanas Pirush Hamilus says that's less important. It's always good, but only required in the first bracha. Whereas the more important Kavana is Kavanas Omer L'Pnei Hashem. And we wondered, well, why? Why should that be true? What's the hesber for that chiluk? And the answer, I think, is this. When Reb Chaim says, if you lack Omer L'Pnei Hashem, you're a misasik. Called Tefillah Shein the Kavana in a tefillah. You didn't realize that you're davening. You don't, if you're not aware of what you're doing, and Reb Chaim seems to be aligned with getting within that machlokas Kiveger Chavazas, that approach, the approach that I believe is aligned with Rashi, that even by a mitzvah, misasik by a mitzvah lo yotza. Ki'ilu, you didn't do it. That's it. Tefillah lo kavana in a tefillah. Okay? So if that's true, so then we understand why he's gives that fundamental statement, and we understand why it's ma'akir throughout. It doesn't count. The ma'isa doesn't count if you're masasik, if you lack kavanas pa'ula. There's just one little final logical step, and then we're ready to roll. One last thing should bother you pretty fundamentally. Throw out all this nice terminology. Ooh, you learned this new idea of masasik. Kiveger, chavastas, rashi, taisis, kishmak, okay, says a certain mahal that Misasik, if you lack kavanas pa'ula, it's mamish, it's not your maisa at all. If you don't have kavanah for the pa'ula, then the pa'ula doesn't relate to you. Okay, that's a mind-blowing idea. So not only you putter from onshin, but it doesn't count for mitzvah, and we say, that's the Rambam, lack kavanas pa'ula, you does it, it's as though the maisa doesn't count at all. You didn't realize you were davening, then your davening didn't count. One little problem with that.
Is one time it does count.
Well, even more fundamental. Leave out for a moment. Just me now, babe. Yeah.
Did you not realize you're davening?
Yeah, well, I realized I was davening. I came to shul. I put on my towels and film. I opened the sitter. Very shy, hit the nail on the head. I knew I was davening. It's not that the guy was sleepwalking. Sometimes, nebuch, you're taking off your tefillin, then the chakras, and you don't remember putting them on. Like, okay. I've been on autopilot. How did I get here? So that's not great. That's not great. Better that your habits are holy than that your habits are unholy. But obviously even better is that holy things aren't just by habit. But that's not what we're talking about here. A guy, he knew he was going to shul. He knew he had a Siddur open, and he knew that's what he's doing. He said, I'm davening, I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei. He knew he was davening. He just didn't realize in the Rambam's case that he was doing what? He was in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't thinking about God. He was davening for the Siddur. He wasn't thinking about God. So why is that misasar? I knew I was davening. I just didn't realize I was davening for Hashem. You know what you see? You know what you see? Reb Chaim doesn't unpack this point, but his Talmud, Emek Racha, Rarilei Pomeranchik, who grew up in the town of Brisk, there was a real town called Brisk, and he grew up in the shadow of Brisk Rav. He lived by Brisk Rav for many years. You know what this tells you about Tefillah? I promise you that from details of Kavanah, we get to a core definition of Tefillah. If a lack of Omer Lefnei Hashem means you're a Masasik, what does it tell you about the definition of Tefillah? Tefillah isn't saying words. I knew I was saying words. That's very nice. You knew you were saying words from the Siddur. So you're not a Masasik as far as saying words from the Siddur. You are a Masasik as far as Tefillah, because to be Mispal is not to say words. To be Mispal is to be Omer Lefnei Hashem. The definition of tefillah isn't saying 19 brachas. It isn't saying anything. The definition of tefillah is spending time with the Lord, being face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is tefillah. To be omer lifnei Hashem is tefillah. What you do, how you go about omer lifnei Hashem, I mean, in theory you could just stand there and bask in the glory of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what we do. You're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you talk to him. But that's the talking is the method. The talking, how do you do Amid Lefnei Hashem? There are words that you say, Shavach and Akasha, Midraban and the whole Shemoneh Esrei. But that's the how. That's not the what. What tefillah is, isn't saying words. What tefillah is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being with the Ribbono Shel Olam for a few minutes. That, if you'll take question in just a few minutes. Mashal Ma Davar Doma, because this is maybe a little abstract. Mashal Ma Davar Doma. The Saber is HaOzen. So think about a friend you've had for a couple of years. Maybe someone in this room, maybe I'm not someone in this room. Guy I've known for a long time. Do you remember the first time that you met each other? Maybe. Maybe not. Do you remember what you spoke about the first time you met each other? Maybe you were four-year-old boys, you didn't really talk about anything. You just played or stole toys from each other or beat each other up or raced, whatever it is. Or maybe you spoke about things. You might not remember the first thing you spoke about, even though you might remember the first time you met, because in retrospect, what you spoke about wasn't as significant as the fact that you were spending time together. Let's say you want to meet someone new, in a romantic context or in a business context. Somebody maybe want to go into a business partnership with. So you sit down to schmooze. So that first meeting over coffee, so it could be that the real point is the content. And you have an idea you want to pitch to me, and I want to hear about it, and I'm going to say, you know, it's really about, do I like your ideas or not? But very often, even in a business context, certainly a romantic context, you're not just going to sit there and stare at each other. That means you're going to talk about something. But very often, what you talk about is secondary to the fact that you're spending time with each other. Either there's a good vibe or there isn't a good vibe. It's much more than the things that you say. It's the fact that you're spending time together. So that's what l'chora emerges from Reb Chaim's analysis of the Rambam. That the definition of tefillah isn't, the act of tefillah is not saying words. The act, so to speak, of tefillah, the pu'ula is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way we do it is we talk about things. You don't just stand there silently. When you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you talk. But that's the protocol. That's not the essence of the thing. Tefillah, Hagdara of Tefillah isn't Amira Shemoneh Esrei. Hagdara of Tefillah isn't Amira. The Hagdara of Tefillah is Amida Lefnei Hashem. Oh. Now, a whole wide variety of things cascade into place. Number one, where we're at right now. We have Steering Gemaras. Lamed, Lamed, Dalet, is Kavana Ma'akev throughout Shemoneh Esrei, only the first bracha. The other Rishonim try to understand that these two Gemaras are really two halves of the same story, but the Rambam seems to say no. Reb Chaim says, if you look at the Rambam carefully, he taught two different Kavanas. Kavanas, Omer Lefnei Hashem, Ma'akev throughout the Shemoneh Esrei. Chavas Pirush Hamil is only not from the first bracha. I yield to the Shmona is only not from the first bracha. So we said, well, why? What's the hesber for the chilat? The answer is, well, dig deeper into the Rambam. Called Tefila Shein the Kavanah and Tefila. Of course, Kavanah Pirush Hamil is important. It's a little bit silly to stand in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu and not know what you're talking about. That's not very impressive. Obviously, it's far more ideal to be aware, cognizant of what it is that you're saying to Rosh Hashanah. But if you weren't, it wasn't ideal, but you're still able to. Because you weren't a Misasik, you knew that you were davening. But if you lacked Kavanas Omer L'Fnei Hashem, it's of course it's Ma'akev throughout. If you lack Kavanas Omer L'Fnei Hashem, you're not Yotze at all. Why? Because you didn't realize that you were davening. You might have known you were saying words. But to be misfollowed means Omer L'Fnei Hashem. If I knew I was saying the words in the Siddur, but I didn't think about God, I was not cognizant, I am standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means I was not cognizant that I was davening. Just like I might have known that I was cutting a tomato in half, but I didn't realize that I was detaching the right half of the tomato from the ground. I knew I cut a tomato in half, but I was misasig with respect to the malacha of kotzer. So that's not my mice of kotzer. That's not my kotzer. If I knew that I was saying words from the sinner, but I didn't realize that I was saying them to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that's a misasig. Of course, there's nothing happened. Kotzer is the command, tefila. There was no tefila here. There was an act that was done, but it doesn't relate to me, because again, Reb Chaim understands the Rambam is aligned with Rashi, that Misasik B'mitzvah is lo yatsa. If you lack Kavanas Pa'ula, it's not, the Maisa does, the Pa'ula does not relate to you. But again, rooted in this fundamental understanding that the definition of Tfila isn't Amira, the definition of Tfila is Amida L'fnei Hashem. Are you ready? Just saw, as promised, that from digging into details, the details of stira, pratim, and the halachas of kavana, stira to gemara, how much is ma'akev, all of a sudden, boom, we just came to not only fundamental understanding of kavana, fundamental understanding of tefila. The hagdara of tefila, hagdara means definition, the hagdara of hagdara is definition, and the hagdara of tefila is amid of Hashem. Let's deal with one more thing, and then I know there are questions, especially Avichai is doing so patiently. Just one more point for now. We were so bothered with the Rambam that a different Rambam in Perek Aleph, moving from Perek Daled and Perek Yud to Perek Aleph, the words of the Medrash Halacha, the Sifrei, quoted by the Yerushalmi in the fourth Perek of Brachas and the Bav, the very beginning of Tainus, the Rambam understood that that's Hasmachta. But the Rambam understood that's mamish pshat pasim, a level of deraisa, mitzvah deraisa based on that pshat pasim. What type of pshat is that? How does the answer the question? If you're bothered, if you're not willing to say it's karbanos, despite the fact that leiv is very critical, zvachim dav beis, but the main organ of karbanos is still not leiv, but yad, well, the same is true for tefillah, no? The lave is very important, but the main organ is peh. And the answer is, no, it's not. Specifically, according to Rambam, the main organ of tefillah is not peh. The main organ of tefillah is lave, because the definition of tefillah isn't saying words. The definition of tefillah is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unlike by a karbon, the definition of HaKrafas Avot HaKrafas is doing things with your hands. You're doing them l'man Hashem. But the act you're called upon to do is to take a knife and slaughter the neck of a carver.